So I want to acknowledge my co-authors. That's Paul Funt from the Southwest Cotton Ginning Research Unit and Matthew Pelletier from the Cotton Production and Processing Research Unit in Lubbock. And we're looking at the effect of gin process parameters on drying efficiency. Particularly what we're looking at here is airflow rate and seed cotton mass flow rate, as well as drying temperature. So why are we doing this? Well, we want to improve sustainability. We hear that word. That's a big issue. And, of course, it's not just, you know, to save the environment. That's part of it. But we want to save you money. We know that dryer fuel is usually somewhere around, you know, 7.5% of the cost of ginning. But it's varied a lot. We've seen where, you know, propane prices have spiked, natural gas has gone up. You know, right now it's currently fairly low, but it's no guarantee it will be. So we know that our fuel costs can vary a lot, and they're hard to predict. So the less you have to use, the better that is for management of your gin. From a technical standpoint, our drying systems are concurrent flow. The material and the air flow in the same direction. And that's less efficient than any other sort of drying design. Now, we do that for process reasons. It works well. But we want to try and make it as efficient as we can. And as I said, the fuel use efficiency is low. You know, we've had a number of studies. That number we keep getting is around 20%. And I don't have the updated number that Paul's going to present next, but I'm sure it's around 20%. So there's been some factors that affect drying efficiency that have been discussed. And, you know, there's a Beltwide paper from the 80s by Ed Hughes. We're looking at things like residence time, how long the material's in the drying system. The relative velocity of the material, the cotton, and the air. They don't move at the same velocity, and if it goes around bends, that's the idea behind a tower dryer, is that as it goes through all those bends, the material slows down and accelerates. Temperature, of course, and airflow rate. But while we've talked about this, there's not a lot of data out there on these factors. And some of the work that was done, you know, they were more limited 40 years ago in what they could control and how they could test things. And so there's some things we can do nowadays to hopefully learn some more about this. So again, the objective of this study was really to conduct a preliminary investigation of the effects of the initial moisture content, drying airflow rate, seed cotton mass flow rate, and drying temperature on the after drying moisture content and dryer fuel use efficiency for a conventional tower dryer and a gin. And we realized we probably want to repeat this study, and so really, it's to learn some more so we can do a better job next time and really zero in on what's important and figure out how we can do this more efficiently. So, as I said, we tested two initial moisture content levels. And what you'll see here, what we did, our large-scale gin at the gin lab is set up where there's lots of valves. We can bring cotton in and then put it back in a trailer. So what we did was we sucked it out of a trailer. And we added some moisture. We have a humid air connected to our seed cotton conveying lines, and we can do that. So we added the humid air to that, put it back in the trailer. The trailer is lined with plastic, and we covered it. That was the best solution we came up with to add moisture to, you know, I think it was 12,500 pounds of seed cotton. And then the other moisture level was just stored at ambient. We did this test in September. It was fairly warm and also dry on the days that we did it. The experimental design we used was a rotatable central composite design. This is response surface methodology. Get a good idea. It's a screening experiment to figure out what's important, what range of variables are important for each moisture level, and randomize those tests. Again, the variables we varied. We had airflow rate. So what we measured and changed was the velocity at the inlet to the blow box. So we can measure that. We haven't added material to the system yet. We measured that, used that as an input to the built-in PID control on the VFD. Some preliminary data shows that, you know, just the built-in fan control program is tuned pretty well for, and we don't have a long response time or anything like that. Seed cotton processing rate, we're simply changing the speed of our feed control in the gin. And the dryer temperature before the mix point. We considered using the after mix temperature that you'd typically use in a gin burner control, but it wasn't really practical for this. It's temperature control system, it's fairly slow to respond, so we just kept a constant premixed temperature. All the cotton was Fibermax 1944, grown in 2016. We did the test, as I said, past September. We varied the mass we used for each test run with the processing rate so that we were running cotton through the gin for about 3 minutes or through our drying system. It turns out the average lot size was just under half a bale. Again, the slower processing rates, we used less cotton. The faster ones, we used more. We did that just to minimize our material needs and time to run the test. So this shows the factors, the different levels of the three factors we used. You'll see our air velocity. It varied from 15 meters per second, that's just under 3,000 feet per minute, up to 22 meters per second, or it's just over 4,300 feet per minute. That range is really, you know, this 3,000 feet per minute, that's on the low end of how the velocity range we'd want to use for conveying. The high end velocity there, basically, that's very close to the maximum airflow our fans can generate at the higher seed cotton feed rates. Essentially, the VFDs are operating at nearly, you know, 60 hertz, nearly 100% there. And, you know, our fans are already set up. If they're running at, you know, 100%, 60 hertz on that drive, you know, we're at the maximum speed for the fans. We don't want to speed them up past that. So that's really the capacity of our system. Feed control speeds, say the center one there, that comes out to about 150 pounds per minute of seed cotton through the system. And drier temperatures, we went from 150 degrees Fahrenheit up to 300. So, and that's, again, that's the before mix temperature. So we're staying under the 350 that we recommend. But we're also using a very low temperature there. We know, you know, a lot of times in the Mid-South, Southeast, you know, that's what a lot of gins run. So we have some dry cotton, and they don't need to go above that. So this is our basic layout of a gin, similar to a lot of gins. We have a tower dryer, you know, simple burner feed control. It's a push-pull system, so we have the two fans. And we were measuring that inlet velocity. Also, the temperature, you measure the velocity pressure, you need the temperature to calculate the velocity. We're measuring the temperature, and then some pressures around the blow box. We calculate mass flow rate. I'm not going to present any of that here. And I said we were controlling that VFD on the fan. On the push fan, it's connected to a data logger that's calculating actual velocity and outputting that signal to the VFD. And the other VFD on the pull fan is simply running the same frequency. Also measuring fuel flow. We're interested in dryer efficiency. We need to measure that. So we put a thermal mass flow meter on our gas line. There'll be a lot more details in the paper, obviously. So we recorded seed cotton weight. We took 5 seed cotton moisture samples from each lot. Before drying, it's collected from the feed control. After drying is the duct between the cylinder cleaner and the stick machine. You know, we mostly follow Shepherd, as Paul talked about earlier. We're calculating the mass of moisture removed from our change in moisture content and the weight of the seed cotton. And from that, we calculate the energy that's required to evaporate the moisture. That goes into determining dryer efficiency, the fuel used while processing the cotton, the energy content of the fuel, and then that's how we get dryer fuel use efficiency. And then we develop some response surface models for the after-drying moisture content and dryer efficiency. There's a statistical technique you can use to select models. Since this is kind of a preliminary study, it's simple and pretty quick. So one thing we saw was that we didn't really get much of a difference in moisture content. It's around 0.25%. Probably didn't seal it well enough. Also, I think there were some issues where it wasn't really evenly distributed throughout that cotton where we tried to add moisture. It was a little higher, but not. It wasn't a statistically significant amount. It's not a real large amount, 0.25%. If you look at our average fuel efficiency, it's about 19.5%. So it's similar to past studies. If we're looking at models of after drying moisture content, Moisture level was a significant effect in that model. Moisture content, of course, with higher initial moisture, it remained higher. Drying temperature, of course, higher drying temperatures dried the cotton better. You had lower moisture content. We'd wonder about our methods if we didn't find that. But what's interesting is the seed cotton mass flow rate. You see here, higher mass flow rates result in increasing moisture content. So basically, now, let me go back. Oh, there we go. Okay. So, as I said, our moisture content increases with increasing seed cotton mass flow rate. However, your fuel use per unit mass seed cotton will decrease because you're, in a given time, you're putting more seed cotton through the system. So how does that affect fuel efficiency? Well, as we'll see later, we didn't really see an effect, but it's possible there is one. Now, there's no effect of airflow rate here. So if airflow rate doesn't have an effect on your moisture content, then just from physics, your that lower airflow rate, it uses less fuel. You're heating less air up. So you should have higher drying efficiencies. And this is the model for the after-drying moisture content. The R-square is sort of low, but we do have a lot of variability in our moisture content. Root mean square error there is 0.37. If you include the moisture content as a covariate, I tried a little bit of this since it wasn't really significant. It didn't improve the model. Dryer fuel use efficiency. If you leave moisture level in as a treatment, there weren't any models that explained a significant amount of variation. So we put it in as a covariate. The point I want to make out, there's a lot of variability in the moisture content, particularly in the before drying samples. And so we get fuel use efficiency numbers for each individual test run. They range from -3%, which means the moisture after drying was a little bit higher, which that sometimes happens. We've taken lots of samples in commercial gins. It's just a lot of variability in those moisture samples, up to 82%. Again, it's simply the case that, there's a lot of variability in that moisture, and it's not what it actually is. For dryer fuel use efficiency, the only thing that would make a significant model really is it's just based on the before drying moisture content. So you see this is just a simple linear regression of fuel use efficiency on that before drying moisture content, which to me is more evidence that we're just predicting it based on because you're calculating it based on that moisture content change. So it's just that variability is what's affecting it. Now, if we break the fuel use efficiency down and look at it by moisture level, as I said, there might be some issues with how we added it and some extra variability there. With the low moisture level, we do see that the fuel use efficiency decreases with increasing airflow rate. And this would be consistent with what we saw, how there's no effective airflow rate on that after-drying moisture content. And again, we see that it increases with the increasing before-drying moisture content. And that's back to the variability issue. That model, it's got a fairly high R-squared. Again, that's the initial moisture content plays a large role in that. So I want to say a little bit more about airflow rates and drying. It didn't affect the after-drying moisture content. Again, should mean that we have increasing dryer efficiency with lower airflow rates. And so we see some evidence of that, but it's often thought, we see in some of the kind of discussions and anecdotal stories, more air equals more drying. But one thing we have to remember is the air that we use for drying is never really saturated in a gin. We have more drying capacity in our air. One thing that may result in more drying at lower airflow rates is that relative velocity or the slip velocity may be higher. And it's important to note here that in our experiment, we're maintaining a constant airflow rate regardless of the cotton coming in. In a typical gin, what happens with that when you get wet cotton? It weighs more, you got a larger pressure drop. Sometimes, that fan's not controlled. It's going to make less air, and that can cause problems sometimes. So, conclusions. We see that increasing mass flow rate increased the after drying moisture content, and the airflow rate did not affect it. And there's some evidence that maybe drying efficiency is higher at lower airflow rates. But we really need to investigate this more. We see this high variability of moisture content, which is, you know, we know that's going to happen. So we really, like I said, this is a screening experiment. We need to do this again. And we'll work with a statistician and figure out just how many samples and replications we need to get some better answers. But I think it's good that we saw some differences, and I think it's worth investigating some more. So thanks to Cotton Incorporated for financial support and our staff. There's a lot of work to trump all that wet cotton in the trailer. This is my assistant. I'm violating child labor laws, I guess. I should know the oven was off and cold, so my helper there, she wasn't always the best at, you know, getting them hung on the racks. But I'm sure the ARS safety people would have a fit with that, but I guess they can fire me.